Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful you can join us for another week.
We certainly are.
And today we have a special guest, Samuel Reynolds. He is a former skeptic who had a life-changing visit to an astrologer and has since spent 30 years doing charts and studying astrology. He currently serves on the board of directors for the International Society for Astrological Research, the International Academy of Astrology, and the Astrology News Service. He's also a co-founder of the International Society of Black Astrologers and a faculty member for the International Academy of Astrology. He's written for multiple print and online outlets, including Ebony.com, Horoscope.com, Tarot.com, and New York Magazine. And we will share all of his contact information after. So welcome, Samuel. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Kim and Barb.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your journey. You say that you started off as a skeptic and then kind of got into this path. So how did that work for you?
Well, let me start with one little correction that I know you called from my website. So I need to correct on my website. I'm no longer on the board of directors for the International Society for Astrological Research. I didn't run again. So that's one thing for, you know, your listeners to know. But so my journey with astrology started not just with skepticism, but aversion and confusion. And maybe your listeners can relate to that. How it started is my parents had dream books. They weren't into astrology. My mom was somewhat into the occult a bit, as we might dub it, but not hardcore or anything like that. I think she tried transcendental meditation, some different things. But so she had these books, and I'm born on the quote unquote cusp between Scorpio and Sagittarius, November 22nd. So when I would read for Scorpio or read for Sagittarius, it seemed like both applied to some degree. So I didn't know which one I was, you know, Scorpio, Sagittarius. So I was like, maybe these people don't know what they're talking about. Maybe it's just bunk. And then also my brother, whose birthday is tomorrow, he's no longer with us, but my brother's birthday is the 24th, he's at the very beginning of Scorpio. So I didn't see myself, my older brother, I didn't see myself anything like him. So I was like, well, then maybe I'm more this arachnid, you know, I mean, I'm more this centaur. Well, anyway, cut to some, you know, 20 or so years later, going back to the skepticism, after I had also been in the ministry. So I was a Christian minister from 12 years old to 19. Okay. So my aversion to astrology became more fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist. So after I lost faith in the church, Christianity, God, I met an older Gemini I had a crush on, and she was into astrology, and she was convinced, well, you're a Scorpio. And I was like, no, clearly, if I had to choose between the arachnid and the centaur, I'm clearly a centaur. And she's like, no, I think you're the bug. long story shorter, I came across, I wanted to get a particular occult book that I was fascinated by that I had encountered when I was a child. It was the 7, 8, 9 books of Moses, or 6, 7, 8 books of Moses. It's kind of a magical text, but it's not, you know, I don't know how valid it is. So this is before Amazon, so I had to call up different bookstores. And I finally found it. I was living in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia. I found it. Went to the store to pick up the book. And the guy was an astrologer. And he's like, hey, have you had your chart done? No. Would you like your chart done? And I said, well, this might be an opportunity to shut the Gemini up. And finally know once and for all that I am a Sagittarius. And so I agreed to the reading. First thing nearly out of his mouth was like, well, your sun is in Scorpio. And I was like, oh, this is complete BS. So, and then it happened. The moment where things changed for me is, you know, he said some things that are, you know, I think, you know, if you met me in person, wouldn't be that hard to decipher. But then he said, you know, it looks like your mom had a problem during her pregnancy and it involved your brother and your father. And that was pretty specific because something did happen between my mother, my father, and my brother when I was like, you know, in the womb. And I had only recently learned that maybe 2 months before. So for him to kind of know that, I was like, how do you know that? I was like, that's like a family secret. And he was like, oh, no, it's right here. And you got all the avuncular and look at right here in your chart. And you're like, I was like, no, there has to be a trick to this. So I spent 10 years trying to figure out what was his trick, only to discover that there was no trick. It was just a moment of divination.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I'm a Capricorn. She's a Virgo.
Earth.
I feel very, very much to my sign. Yeah, anything I've ever read about my sign is like, yeah, I fit in that wheelhouse. I didn't want you for a long time because there's some stuff that I didn't like, and I was like, but I am.
I think we all have that in our signs.
I got
too.
You.
We
don't. I understand.
Yeah. So you started doing church, like you delved into it a little bit more, and then.
Well, I figured the only way to really, you know, because I was in a master's and PhD program in African American studies. So I was very also skeptical of doing or allowing other people's research to influence my own encounter with it.
Yeah.
So I felt the only dutiful and correct thing to do was, you know, to do the astrology or learn how it works for myself, in order to, you know, debunk it. Because I had every expectation that as I did these charts, you know, someone would say like, no, that makes no sense. That isn't me. I don't know who you're talking about. But that's not what happened. And it became easier because I was right at the moment where this is, just to be clear in terms of the time frame, this is 91. And so this is at the moment where, you know, people had developed astrology software. And so I had gotten a new Mac. And so I got a program for the astrology, and it became easier for me to do the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've done one, I think, that I got free when I was like, long time ago, 17, 18, 19 years old.
Wow.
But yeah, I always found it interesting, as far as like our signs and things like that. And then recently I saw this thing that there was actually more signs than they say. I didn't do a lot of research into that because I thought, I'm not sure that I buy into that. What are your thoughts on that?
It's true and not true. So the Babylonians, who we often think as the key progenitors for the zodiac that we reference and the astrology, or, you know, yeah, the astrology that we practice, that you're referencing in terms of Capricorn, Virgo, mm-hmm. They initially had up to 18 signs related to the zodiac as a way of tracking the sun through the year. Okay. Over time, the same said Babylonians reduced that number to what became 12, and that also became like more canonical by the time that we get to Alexander the Great conquering Babylon. And at that time, there are 12 signs of the zodiac. There is this idea that Ophiuchus or Ophiuchus is the 13th sign of the zodiac, but technically that has never been part of that configuration in terms of what we constitute as the zodiac. So it depends on which kind of signs you're talking about, but generally for the last 2000, maybe even 2500 years, there have only been 12 signs in the zodiac.
Yeah, because I noticed when that happened, I think mine shifted into something else, and I was like, I don't resonate with that. So
yeah, no, and I mean, that is something that's, you've probably been talking about the Ophiuchus kind of imbroglio or something. That is something that surfaces probably every 2 years.
Okay.
That largely comes from astronomers who want to kind of poo-poo on astrologers because they're jealous of us. Well,
right.
Also because they're, you know, they're annoyed that they're often confused with astrologers, and they don't understand, nor have they done their own research on astrology itself. So they would know that astrology doesn't actually use the constellations. No astrology does. What any astrology does is use something called the signs, which are based on the constellations. but not the actual constellations. But they think very empirically and materialistically and not symbolically.
Right. So do you, what would be the best, like, to start if you are interested in astrology and learning more about what you are and what your sign is, best to start with your sun sign, your moon sign, rising sign?
I always recommend studying astrology itself, because astrology is really not about the signs at all. Okay. It's about the planets. The planets are in or journeying through particular signs and have certain experiences of the sign. But those experiences are also colored by how the planets connect to each other. And that will give you more the real sense of a person. So for instance, like, you identify with being a Capricorn. There are many people who don't identify with being a Capricorn. So for instance, a lot of people say, like, Capricorns are rigid, you know, upwardly mobile, you know, clawing, you know, signs ambitious of the zodiac. I'm like, oh, I always say, like, you mean like Elvis? You mean like David Bowie, right? So there is a way, and they were very creative. I mean, I'm not going to say that they weren't ambitious, but they weren't rigid by any stretch of the imagination. So I think it's kind of what you have to do related, coloring it related to the chart. So I always recommend studying astrology, because signs are just like the lobby level of a very, you know, huge and tall building we call astrology. So if people are into books, there are particular books. There's the On the Heavenly Spheres by Luis Ribeiro and Helena Avalar. That's one book. To listen to the astrology podcast hosted by my friend Chris Brennan. There are various sites that people could go on. People like Cafe Astrology, even though I think it has some limitations, but that's a particular site. Or they could start with me. And my classes, you know, I have classes. Unlockastrology.com. So there are various ways in which people can actively learn astrology. I do think it is beneficial to have a teacher, and I'm not just saying this as a teacher. Like I said, I spent 10 years studying it on my own and doing charts, but I discovered, you know, going toward that 11th year, I didn't know what I didn't know. And when you're talking about a discipline that's 2,500 years old, there's so much to learn. There's so much to know, and more than ever could be known. And so having a guide to kind of weed through, like, what doesn't make sense, or what has been, you know, can identify the cul-de-sacs that you'll run into, I think that's a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Me or mom?
Mom. I'm terrible for cutting her off.
Okay, so it's kind of like Reiki in a way too, because Reiki, you could go way, way back. And the more we're going back, we're finding out all these different ways of doing Reiki, because it's been around for like forever too, touching in with it. So you're saying that the more you were into astrology, the more we're going back and we're finding out it's been around for so long that we've been missing all the cues of some of the things we needed to know. I do have another question. If someone was born in retrograde, and supposing a bunch of their different signs was in retrograde at the time of their birth, now, does that mean it's a negative kind of thing for them in this lifetime? Or does it really mean that it's just they're in a different spin of it? Does that make sense?
Yes, and I can refine a little bit what you're saying. It's not so much the signs. The signs are never retrograde. The planets are.
Okay.
So when someone has a preponderance of planets that are retrograde, more than just say Mercury or whatever, a retrograde planet, and I love the way the turn of phrase you use, which is they have a different spin on it, which right. That's how I look at it, which is that this person may not fit a normative of the people around them.
Okay.
Both in terms of their family, but also maybe in terms of their community, their immediate community of those around them. So they have to find a different way by which they exist, and they may think very differently. That's right. How I think about retrograde planets. And that actually highlights one of the interesting challenges, especially if you get real deep into astrology and get into something called the essential dignities, where a planet feels at home, like Venus in Libra, or where it doesn't, like Venus in Scorpio, that goes into this question of the normative, meaning that planets that are in their home might have a sense of a normative that where they feel a certain level of acceptance, whereas people who have a lot of planets in quote unquote difficult signs, like Mars in Libra, which is opposite to where it likes to be at home, they're faced with a different counter narrative and going against the grain. So for instance, one of my favorite examples to use is Charles Darwin. So out of the seven traditional planets that we use, going from the sun, or we could say even from the moon, all the way to Saturn, Charles Darwin had five out of those seven planets in what we call detriment.
Okay, is that retrograde sort of thing?
Not necessarily retrograde, but in, okay, you know, challenging positions like moon and Capricorn, where the moon likes to be in Cancer, Mars in Libra, where it likes to be in Aries, Venus in Aries, where it likes to be in Libra, right. Jupiter was actually at home, Mercury in Pisces, where Mercury would like to be in Virgo. But what that highlights is that Charles Darwin went against the grain and convention of his day, even though in appearance and manner, he was very Victorian. But in terms of his ideas, he was, as we might describe it now, ahead of his time, you know, in terms of talking about evolution. Because now, you know, we take evolution as a fait accompli, like a very, you know, sound idea for, I think, for many folks. I don't know for all your listeners, but many folks take it as science. But for his day, it was heresy and lunacy. Okay. So that's how he manifested. But to go back to your original question, retrogrades can seem similar to that.
Okay. So they could be special, is what you're saying, is they could, it could be a different twist to that personality sort of thing.
Their personality, their life, how they think, yeah, which can be disorienting for the person. You know, okay, we're making it sound like wonderful, but when you're that person, and I don't know if that fits either one of you, it kind of can just feel like you're a weirdo, you know, surrounded, you know, and so you're like, well, what's wrong with me? You know, why can't I find, you know, the perch of normalcy? And maybe that's what, you know, your chart is saying, you're not meant to, which is okay.
Just interesting. Yeah, it's just something that I've sort of touched on in the past, because I have done a little bit of astrology in my own time. You know, and so it's just a question that sort of piqued my interest and you answered it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. It's so interesting to know how the planets evolve and what we're doing. I'm definitely up there in the stars. I always say that my mind's there, already over here. Just because I find it so fascinating just being there in the stars and in the sky. Just, it's where all the information is, right? For me, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's even the traditional view that, you know, we fell through the heavens to incarnate and picked up pieces of ourselves from the different planets as we incarnated. And so our chart tells the story. So when you say, for instance, your daughters of the moon, that's literal. Not just in terms of as women, as Kim explained to me, but also in terms of the moon as the closest planet. We greet, in astrology, we greet the moon as a planet, not just as our satellite, but as a planet. It actually takes all the energy that's from above it, you know, as we think about it in terms of the other planets, and then becomes like a pen tip by which the ink of the cosmos, the celestial ink, funnels in through us, that, you know, writes into our lives, where we also write our stories and, you know, describe more of who we are. So, you know, that story of how we fall, I mean, this is very Platonic idea of how we fell into creation. You know, the last bit of it was into the moon, or through the moon.
Cool.
So do you think it would be interesting for us to look at our charts or to study a little bit more into astrology itself, just to see maybe the connection of the moon, because we feel so drawn to it, would it be beneficial for our sort of life path to look into that, to find what Absolutely. Our connection is, why we feel such a strong
bond? Absolutely. I think it's important in terms of, you know, the moon can be like a starting point. And the moon actually can become a distraction for people in their initial study of astrology in one very specific way. So the mechanics, which do obey Newtonian physics of the moon, often is used as a justification for how astrology works. And that's not my opinion. Like, I don't think that's how it really works. Yeah, it does have gravitational pull, but it has also this other spiritual significance, which I think goes into the realm more of what people call magic. And so starting with the moon and its mysteries kind of starts opening up what happens into the rest of the heavens. Yeah. And then that even goes to the final planet in the traditional pantheon, Saturn. And there's a parallel between the moon and Saturn. So for instance, Saturn is a planet that is associated and in charge of Capricorn. And the moon is in charge of the planet that, or the sign called Cancer. And they're opposites, right? Okay, so what? Well, what's interesting about the moon and the Saturn's dynamic is that the moon also goes on a rotation of roughly 28, 29 days of something, whereas Saturn does that in relation to years, 28, 29 years. And the parallel between days to years is dealing with how we understand manifestation, physical incarnation of something. So both hold the mysteries by which we talk about incarnation in different parameters of time, in different cycles of time. So the key way we understand cycles is mainly through the moon, but that's the starting point. That's where we even get the word moon in terms of that. So okay. That's kind of the power of it.
That's interesting because, I know that I think too, because when the way I was brought up was always, we were always looking at the heavens, always looking for the planets, always looking for the stars, which was magical, really. But always made that intrigue, right? So astrology is not something I've ever delved into deep, but it is something I've always been interested in because I feel like anything kind of like that, and I feel the same, and I don't know how you feel about this, but like something like that or human design or these different things all tell us about how our lives are and can benefit us to navigate our lives easier or figure out where we maybe are going to stumble. Would that be correct?
Well put.
Yeah. You know, Heraclitus, a philosopher, said that character is destiny. And so understanding your character and then giving attention to it, and then by virtue of giving attention to it, seeking to refine it through prayer, through meditation, through contemplation, is kind of then how you come toward this sense of freedom. It may not be ultimate freedom, like in terms of nirvana, but this is where we have a parallel with the mystical ideas of India related to karma. So character is not the same as karma, but it is, you know, refinement of character so you can avoid your stumbling blocks.
Right. Okay. No, that makes sense.
Where's your Mercury? Do you know, Kim?
I don't know. It's been so long since I looked at it. I'm not sure.
Does Barb do
I
you know?
I know my rising or my sun sign is Capricorn and my moon sign is Scorpio, I want to say.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, maybe you could put in the chat if you want to tell me your private information. I could look it up. But Barb, do you know when your daughter, what her chart is in terms of her Mercury?
You know, I don't, and I should know that. The reason I was referenced to the one was my grandson. When he was born, he was a lot of retrograde, and that's why I asked you. about that.
Okay.
Because I don't know why it was so, but both of her children like are very close as far as I touched in with them very much when they were either in her womb, in her belly sort of thing or whatever. And since then, so I took a surreal knack to it after that to see about the kids and how their lives would with the performance level. So I know I was born in Mercury. I'm a Mercury child.
Yeah, you're a Virgo, so Mercury yeah. rules Virgo, but I mean, it depends on where your Mercury was. Was it in Virgo? Was it in it Libra?
I think it was in Virgo at the time and okay. Capricorn. Does that make sense?
Well, Mercury couldn't be in Capricorn, but what was in Capricorn? Your moon?
I think my moon sign, or I can't remember. I've got it written okay. down somewhere. I'd have to. I'd love to have you do my horoscope.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
Yeah, I'm game.
Okay.
So if a person is learning and goes to a class, like you suggested, and that makes sense to me to find the fundamentals of it to move forward with it. So it would be good to have some of these, know what particular planet that your sign was in.
With my students, for example, I have a range of students. Like we just met for the first time yesterday for our first class, and this is the beginner's class. All of them knew their sun, moon, and rising.
Wow.
But I didn't necessarily expect them to know their sun, moon, and rising. There's some students I've had in the past who didn't know anything. They just have been curious about astrology. So they may not know their chart. Some at one point earlier didn't even know how to cast their chart. We're seeing an acceleration of people becoming much more comfortable with astrology and having access to tools to be able to do things. The downside to that is that we're getting a glut of information. Some of it kind of made up by people who don't know astrology as well as they think they know it. And so there's some confusion that is ensuing. So yeah, I mean, ideally, yes, come in knowing some of those things, but depending on the teacher, you know, or depending on the class or where you go, you may not know. And, you know, your goal is to kind of learn to read a chart.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That does make sense. It's kind of like Wikipedia of astrology. I never knew that Wikipedia was actually people put the information into Wikipedia. It's not like when you look it up and you think it's like the dictionary or an encyclopedia, people actually put that information in. So it's not always correct, which was an interesting thing to learn.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, you know, you can't believe everything that's on the web.
No,
that's for sure.
And there's so much information out there. I think it gets jumbled up when we're talking about some of these things that have this definitive past, that have these things that are kind of written in to teach you that way. Like I would think there's some hard lines about where the planets are and how that affects you and things like that.
There are some hard lines about, I mean, in terms of the math related to where the planets are, sure. What they mean, what they may rule, you know, in terms of signs and different things, these are still contested because, you know, astrology is always in this process of a kind of evolution. For instance, right. I referenced the seven traditional planets, but there are now other planets that astrologers also reference and points. So Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Chiron, Haumea, Eris, Sedna, Quaoar. There's a whole array of planets and points that astrologers use. So, for instance, many modern astrologers will say that Pluto rules Scorpio, Uranus rules Aquarius, Neptune rules Pisces. Now, I don't subscribe to that. And, you know, when I was a younger astrologer, I would argue, you know, about it. I don't argue with it about it anymore. I believe what I believe based on what I believe. But if someone wants to believe differently, there's room for that. It's just as big as the sky. You know, Demetra George, you know, an astrologer who I greatly respect, she has said, you know, as in the sky, as in the psyche. So as vast as the sky is, so is the human psyche.
Nice. That's
a nice, I like that. And it makes sense, right? It really
does. That's you, Barb. Yeah, yeah, I think it makes sense too.
I'm sorry, I'm just sitting back here. I'm about to take a moment here for you guys.
Okay, I was going to check on you. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. I'll try to come back.
Okay, okay. Please.
Well, that's interesting, and I'd like to read more, so that's great. And if I'll have to go back and listen in and get those names of those books to let people know, because I think I love reading. I'm actually a voracious reader, and I just love learning new things that I think set us on our path and teach us and open things up for our minds and our souls to follow the way that we're supposed to, or be aware of some of the darker things in our lives that, you know, maybe we either stay away from or we embrace in a different way to navigate through our lives as we go.
Yeah. Do you share your birth information? Is that publicly known to your audience, or no? Do you, the date or year, anything you want to put in the chat?
Oh, I was born January 12th, 1969.
Okay. Okay. January 12th. I'm going to tell, because I'm curious about where your Mercury is. I think it's an Aquarius. And I'm right. So I just looked it up. So January 12th, 1969, looks like your moon had moved into Scorpio, as you mentioned. Your Mercury's in Aquarius, because I kept listening to you. And I'm like, her mind works like with Aquarius, which I'll explain, because you're like, what does that mean? Your Venus is in Pisces. Your Mars is in Scorpio. So you're about to have a Mars return, which I can also explain briefly. Jupiter's in Libra, Saturn's in Aries as well. Uranus is also in Libra, Neptune's in Scorpio, and Pluto's in Virgo. I'm not going to explain all those planets, but since I highlighted a few, why I said about your Mercury. So my experience with a Mercury in Capricorn, as a contrast for a minute, is very practical. Much like you might have read about the sun sign, very practical thinking about that. But a Mercury in Aquarius is seeking to constellate and connect things. You have an evening star Mercury, so it's a lot more contemplative, a lot more watchful, more observant, wanting to digest things. This is what's about to happen with Mercury in the sky now. She is becoming an evening star. So I was like thinking, like, just your phase, and I'm talking about the phase of your Mercury. I was like, this woman seems like she has more of a Mercury in Aquarius than the Capricorn, which would be, you know, more inquisitive, but sometimes, you know, light in a way, not more the gravitas of it. Yeah. And then what else did I say? I would mention your Venus. Your Venus is in, hold on, no, I lost a page. Yeah, Venus is in Pisces. So it also explains some dimension of your interest related to the spirituality, the beauty, the aesthetics, aesthetic, attentive to aesthetics and how things blend. And then, you know, like I mentioned, your Mars, you're about to have a Mars return, meaning that Mars is in Scorpio now. And so when Mars comes home, it's kind of dealing with, you know, how you mobilize yourself, motivate yourself, dealing with your sense of action, or how you've not dealt with your sense of action, which can build up frustration and even at its worst, depression. So you need to activate your Mars, or you're sure you're in touch with that energy to move forward in the world.
Okay. That makes sense, because that is certainly me. All those things. Yeah, and just for the followers, we've pre-recorded this. So we're actually recording this in October 23rd of 2023. So when you're hearing this and then you're listening, you're like, no, that's not right. It is right.
Right.
When we're recording it. So
yes. Thank you for clearing that up, because someone would be listening like, Mars is in Taurus right now. That astrologer doesn't know what he's talking about. He's using some weird zodiac.
Right. So yeah, I did think I'd set that straight for everybody, that we are definitely pre-recording this. So the things that you're hearing are true. So thank you for that, because
well, with my curiosity, because I was listening to you and listening how you're asking questions, and I was like, this is not a Mercury in Capricorn, so I just had to know. See, then, and that's kind of that gives you a sense of a window into like my approach related to astrology. It's you know, what stokes my curiosity. And I'm not curious about everything. You know, people ask me like, well, what's happening with Jada and Will Smith? I don't care. I don't know. I'm not looking up their astrology. I know their astrology, but I don't care. I'm not going to talk about that.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's fair. I appreciate that because yeah, that makes sense for me, and that is a lot of how I am, definitely the practical part.
Yes, she is, but she's also the upper hand on what we do with the podcast too, because she's the one that does it. She's really into the detail and everything else with what we do with it. So mm-hmm. You know, it's lovely. You know, we work well together, us little Capricorn, Virgo, Earth people.
I got you. Earth people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It helps, right? Just because I think for myself to be some of that, and I know that that's part of my sign for sure, is like, right, to be organized, to be practical, to look at all the things, to, you know, figure out dates. And that's always something. I've been this way since I was a tiny little girl. Like, this hasn't...
I've always been the dreamer.
Pay attention to the... Well, and also the aesthetics of things. Like, I'm observing, you know, the design of your room there, and even how your hair is matching your shirt, your sweater. So that's... Like, did you plan that?
Didn't plan.
No, she's organized.
But I do like to have a good presentation, yes.
Good for you.
Yes. Well,
she was taught well that way.
There you go.
Yeah. But, so what is one thing if you could share with the followers that you think is something that they should know or be curious about or expand their minds into, what would it be?
Well, that's a great question. I have a question. Remember, I have a question for you guys.
I know.
That's a great question. Well, with astrology, I would say to think of it more, I think, in its true origins, which is for contemplation. And when I mean by contemplation, let's even take the etymology of another word, consider. The word consider, it comes from the Latin considere, which means to think with your stars. And I think if more people were to think with their stars, rather than thinking that things are solely dictated by their stars, they would find more in terms of a cooperation. So, example, some people might think as they're going toward their Saturn return, which happens every 28, 29 years. So it will happen again roughly in the first, you know, part of life, 28, 29, then again, roughly around 58 to 60 years old, and then roughly around 87 years old. And then if you have a fourth Saturn return, God bless you, because I don't know too many people who've had that. But usually within those three. And some people live in fear related to that. Like, is Saturn going to get me? People live in fear related to the Mercury retrograde. You know, like, well, Mercury's going to mess up everything related to my life. And the better way to think of it is to be aware rather than to just be aware. And when we're talking about be aware, it's like, well, Saturn respects plans and thinking ahead. So what can you do? And then your own sense of authority, how you are owning your sense of authority. Let's take with that Saturn return. So how are you preparing for that? But if you're ignoring that and trying to abdicate your authority, then you experience Saturn in a very difficult, harsh way. Now, it still may be difficult. It may, for different reasons, have its own, quote unquote, harshness, but it can be mitigated by this conscious awareness, which I think is the real gift of astrology. But what I see when people absorb particular things, it becomes proscriptive rather than descriptive. So it's like, well, I'm a Pisces and I'm flaky. Okay. And I don't think that's true for all Pisces. So don't think that I am saying this to any Pisces listeners or followers. But they might say, like, well, I'm a Pisces and I'm flaky. Well, are you, again, going back to where I said character's destiny, Are you comfortable with that? Or do you think that it's just been prescribed by the cosmos and you have to fulfill it? Because that's a matter of interpretation, not dictation.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I think I would want most people to kind of realize and recognize about astrology. You know, I always say that fate has two arms and one of them is your own. So it's learning to work that one arm.
Yeah.
Say that again. I didn't hear you, Barb.
Well said.
Thank you.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, so that's how I see it. I'm sorry, Kim.
I actually heard about the Saturn return, and that was really interesting because it really made me ponder about where I was in the life during my first Saturn return and what was happening in my life. And yeah, it was a changing moment in my life. So it was interesting when I heard that. I had never heard about the Saturn return before. So.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are various cycles. There's the Chiron return, there's the Mars, like I mentioned, the Mars return, there's the Venus return, or the synodic Venus return. So when you get into the complexities of astrology, especially related to the planets, you can appreciate more the life cycles and changes and the wisdom that the stars can grant you by their light in moving forward in your life.
Right.
So you have a question for Arthur?
So the question I have for you, and this is also for your listeners to contemplate, what do you think is the most significant spiritual crisis that we're experiencing? And I'm not trying to say the whole world, so let's localize it and say between, you know, or, you know, even a distinction between our two countries. So I'm in the United States, I'm in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, you guys are in Canada, and there are a lot of parallels, of course, there's a lot of differences too, but what do you think might be, you know, the spiritual crisis we're facing?
Go ahead, Kim.
Nice. I think one of the biggest spiritual things right now is, I think there's a great divide between not only maybe our countries, but even if I just talk about Canada, there's such a great divide between the East and the West and their ideologies and the way they think. And I feel like with that, a lot of people are very closed-minded. Like, yeah. And I don't mean closed-minded, but they're just like, it's my way and there's no opening up. So I feel like there's so much, we've become so into our phones and into our technology and some of that things, I feel like it's really closed us off to open up to other people and to learn about other people and to be open to learning about other people. And I feel like it's just become almost like a narcissistic isn't the right word, but kind of like almost like a narcissistic world where we're only really just worried about ourselves and not expanding. And I don't think that's everybody, but I think that's the biggest hurdle right now in my thinking, is that people are too into themselves and not opening up to just paying attention and being present in life and really just listening to the people that are around us. I think for me, that would be it.
I feel a lot of the same way as you, Kim, but I find it's a lot of fear-based today, and nobody really knows what they are doing. And it is so sad to watch, because looking at down the road to where we're going to be, if we don't all open up and start smartening up, we're headed for in a wrong direction. I think this, the whole thing with spirituality, we want people to look at it in an open mind where it'll put us in a direction where we're going to be looking for peace and tranquility in this world. And by living with fear of the what ifs is not what we should be doing. And but I agree a lot of what you said, Kim. There's a lot of people that are one-sided, but think only one way, and we can't change them, or we seem to have a difficulty with that. And that does put not a good sign of where we're heading. How do you feel about that now that we answered your question, sir?
I actually share your opinions. Yeah, and I like the nuance you brought into it also, Barb, in terms of fear. You know, it's an awakening. You know, I mean, what happened, irrespective of politics, where you land related to vaccines or the like with COVID, it was an awakening moment for me to observe, looking at the quote unquote left, looking at the quote unquote right. It was the first moment in my life where I ever looked at the left and was like, you know, I'll be colloquial, but still FCC regulated. I'll say, I said, I looked at the left and, you know, I was like, you mofos might be as crazy as the right, or what I thought the right was. Right. And, but what I've, where I've landed now 3 years later from that is like, I still have some of those thoughts, but I'm like, we're all still people. And I think what we're losing and what we've lost is the full recognition of our peoplehood, you know, our humanity, you know, like, okay, I can differ from you, but are you hungry? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you're unhoused. What can I do to help you? Right. Rather than like, well, it's your fault. You know, you voted in such and such, or you did this. And I think that's just so wrong. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, that's taught me as an astrologer, you know, is kind of cultivating more compassion. You know, I was just saying how people get into loggerheads about what they say they are. It's almost like gang signs, Scorpio, Capricorn, you know, Virgo. They kind of lock themselves right into these particular categories without realizing, like, you're supposed to learn all of it, you know, like recognize that you have all 12 signs of the zodiac in you in different measure, but somehow your journey is to connect, starting from your starting point, right, where that is, but to branch out and breathe into all 12 signs of the zodiac.
Well, you're very interesting. You're very interesting. You sure put it in a nest egg for people that are out there listening. Yes, we are all parts of the zodiac, and I don't think people realize that. And when you said that, I thought, hurrah, because that describes so much of the different things that we go through, even in a day or in a year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're spot on. Yeah, and I think we forget that. And so we get locked into our little cubby holes of meaning, you know, whether we're looking at it through the zodiac or numbers or politics or parties. And I'm like, well, you know, at the end of the day, yes, I'm not saying, you know, forgo all your opinions, but does it matter more than your humanity and caring for each other?
I agree with that. Because that one thing I saw too was like, it was like, everybody forgot that we have a choice and that mm-hmm. we're people and we have our own ideas, and people forgot that just because my idea is different from yours doesn't mean that I can't still love you or be open to your idea. I might not agree with it, but we lost that humanity a little bit between people because everybody shut down because it was just like
COVID did it.
Yeah, I found that. And I mean, I feel hopeful, I have to say, because I think people as a general whole are good people and they will come around and evolve. But it did really, to me, set that separation just by that I have my choice and we can still respect each other and have different opinions. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was mind blowing because often these were people who in some way, in some form, probably were close to you. Like I had a friend on Facebook who was at my 50th birthday party. Say to me, like, and again, I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody in one particular idea, but he said, well, I wish I could just get all the unvaccinated people, put them on an island and just, you know, in a stadium and just, you know, put a whole bunch of water in it. And I was like, oh my God.
I know. That, like,
that's
your mind.
Is that serious for you?
Yeah.
Like, oh my, like it blew my mind.
But even with having COVID right now for me in October, you know, like it's interesting because people want you to stay away either 5 days or 10 days, but it all depends on what they believe in. And so I'll just stay away, and that way I have nobody that has to be upset in any way, shape or form with me.
Right.
Just to sort of keep the calm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when I got COVID the first time, I just, you know, stayed home for, well, at that point it was like 5 days and or something like that. But I think I did like a week and just used Instacart, you know, and could just be at home and read books and look at TV, you know, be with myself. It was okay.
Yeah. Nice.
But I think that's a problem also with today's society in some ways is people are fearful of being alone and fearful of being in their own. And by alone, I don't mean just, you know, of course, nobody wants to be alone, but alone with their own self just for any period of time to be present with you and find out who you are and just, I don't know. I like being alone and having my alone time to just downplay, to do my journaling, to do the things that I want to do and celebrate my passions and ideas.
That's right.
And that brings us back to astrology, right? In the sense, like I said, you know, one of the fundamental tenets that I think has gotten lost, it was related to contemplation and related to, you know, considere, you know, to think with one's stars. So people have lost or are out of touch. I won't say lost, but many people are out of touch with the capacity to be with themselves and to contemplate themselves. And that's not just this meditation or mindfulness.
No.
It's to think about also like, what is that part of my character? Why do I have a bad temper? What can I do about my temper or my addictive personality? How do I come to manage it and work with it? And astrology may describe and recount some of the same things that, you know, your therapist has said, or sometimes I feel like astrology can give you some measure of a dossier that you could take to your therapist and like, here are my issues. So you don't spend three years, you know, with a therapist, like trying to figure out, well, let's see what your issues are.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. You have so much information. We'd love to have you back on sometime if you'd like. Can you tell everybody where to find you?
Yes, you can find me at unlockastrology.com if you want to write me. It's unlockastrology@gmail.com. I am on social media. So if you want to find me on Instagram, it's S as in Sam, F as in Fred, Reynolds, SF Reynolds, all one word. And then on Twitter or X, it's Unlock Astrology. That's my handle. And on Facebook, it's, you know, I think it's Ebony Sky Talker is my page.
I like that one.
Thank you. Well, Barb and Kim, you know, I didn't know about you before you reached out to me, but I'm happy to know you. I love your energy. I think we had fun.
Thank you.
And I do hope we connect again. And if I come up to Alberta again, I hope we can hang out.
Oh, absolutely. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun and I learned a lot and it just makes me want to dive in more.
Wonderful. So, and get well, Barb.
Thank you.
So, you're doing great. I mean, I don't know, you know how it might be in the still of the night, but you know, I would never know if you didn't mention. So
thank you. I try to overcome things.
Good. All right.
All right. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.